And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I think all of you would agree with me tonight that there is nothing more precious and kind than a little innocent child. I mean, they're just so innocent and just so loving. And there's no telling what a child will say. I heard a story the other day about parents that were going to have an outside barbecue, and they really didn't look at the forecast. And on the day that they had the barbecue, I'm telling you, it was seething hot, just like it is today. And so it was too late to cancel, and so all the people started showing up, and they fed the big barbecue. Everybody was outside, and the mother thought that it would be a cute little thing for her little boy to pray. And so when the people were gathered, they were ready to ask the blessing on the meal. The mom said, All right, Johnny, would you pray? And he said, Mom, I don't know what to say. The mom said, Well, just say the things that I say. And so the little boy said, Dear God, why did I invite all these people over here on this hot day? Sounds just like a child, doesn't it? Psalms 127, verse number 3 through 5, the Bible says, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. You know what he's saying in that text? That God rewards you by giving you children. Now, I know sometimes when they're going through those terrible twos, or like our last little baby, she had colic, and I'm telling you, for about 2 months, every night she cried all night long. I didn't think that that was a reward from the Lord. But now that they are older and they have given me grandchildren, I know that children are a reward from the Lord. But he goes on in that text, verse number 4 of Psalms 127, he says, As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gate. In that passage, God is saying, you know what, children are precious. Children are a reward. Children are someone that we should take care of, that we should honor, and that we should lift them up. When you study the Word of God, one of the things that God makes very clear is that He loves children, He protects children, and you and I are to do the same thing. When you look at Matthew chapter number 25, it's important to note that Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 are passages that is dealing with the tribulation and all the events that will happen during the tribulation. When you come to verse number 31, the tribulation has come to an end, and the Lord Jesus Christ has come back to this earth for the second coming. He states that in verse number 31 when he says, "The Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him." So we know that he's talking there about the second coming. And then he tells us what is going to happen next. "Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." So we know the context that is taking place in this text is the second coming. And I believe what is fixing to take place in these next verses is right before we go into the millennial reign of Christ. Verse number 32, the Bible says, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats upon his left." So evidently what is taking place is there is a judgment that is taking place. There is a division that is taking place. We know that this as the judgment of the Gentile nations. Gentile nations. Everybody that is at this judgment has lived through the tribulation, has survived the tribulation. The tribulation is over, and now God is going to bring judgment upon them. The Bible says that he divides everybody into two categories. He puts some on the right, the sheep, and he puts some that is on the left, they are the goats. But there is another group of people in this text that we need to point out so we can better understand it. But there is a group where he talks about the least of these my brethren. He talks about that in verse number 40 and I believe again later on in the text. My brethren. My brethren is a different group of people. Now, there's been a lot of speculation as to who those brethren are. I believe, as many commentators believe, that these my brethren are the 144,000 that has survived the tribulation. We know that those 144,000 were 12,000 from each one of the tribes, and they proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that there are people that are saved during the tribulation, as well as we know people that have rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ during the tribulation. So with that context, Jesus puts the sheep on the right hand, and here is what he says. He says, "For I was hungered," verse number 35, "and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw thee we a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee we a stranger and took thee in, or naked or clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, and inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Now what is the significance? The significance is that these 144,000 people were preaching the gospel. They would not take the mark of the beast. They would not bow down and follow the Antichrist. And so therefore they lost everything that they had. They were in poverty. They were pushed aside. And many times they were persecuted. They were vulnerable to everybody that was around them. And here's what the Lord said. "As you have ministered to these that were vulnerable, these that had nothing to eat, these that had nothing to put on themselves, these that were in prison, as you have ministered to them, I am going to reward you and I am going to bless you for that." And then he turns to the other side, to those that are what he calls the goats. And once again, they are on the left side, and he says in verse number 41 "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." What's the matter with this thing? Just turn it off, and I'll use this one, okay? And then once again, he goes on. He talks about, you know what? "I was hungered, and you gave me nothing. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing." He goes right on, and they said, "You know, man, when did we have an opportunity to minister to you?" He said, "Inasmuch," in verse number 43, "inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me." Insomuch as you would not minister, insomuch as you would not do anything to help those that were vulnerable and needy and needed help, insomuch as you would not do anything to them, it was like you did nothing unto me. And so here's what he said. He says, depart into everlasting punishment, but the righteous shall go into eternal life. Now, one thing when you study this passage that is very important to note, that works was not the criteria for going into the kingdom or going into eternal punishment. Salvation has always been by grace. Salvation has always been by putting your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to be saved. But the thing that separated the sheep from the goats was, one had the Spirit of God dwelling in them. One of them were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that caused them to minister to the most vulnerable, to the most innocent, to those that needed help the most. The goats were not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The goats did not have a saving faith in their life, and so therefore they saw no need. They saw no need to help those that were vulnerable and those that were hungry and thirsty. Now, with that thought in mind, I want you to go with me back to Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. When you study the culture of Jesus' day, one of the things that you find out is that children were mostly abused and taken advantage of. I read a statement this week by a theologian that said, in the time of Jesus' day, half of all children that were ever born never reached the age of puberty. One other guy said, you know, during that time, there was one or two ways that people would relate to children. On one case, there would be some that would meet their needs, that would be protective of them, that would give them everything that they wanted, that would elevate them in society. But there was another group of people in Jesus' day that would exploit, that would use, that would abuse them, that would treat them any way that they wanted to. Matter of fact, Roman law said that a father had absolute authority over his child. If he didn't want him to live anymore, with just one word, he could have that child executed. Sounds a little bit of what goes on in our nation today. But when Jesus came along, he knew all of this, and so he wanted to change the culture of how we related to children, which are innocent and which are vulnerable most of the times. And he takes this opportunity, I believe, to do it. In verse number 1, the Bible says of Matthew 18, and at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Now, as I read that, I can just imagine the horror on these disciples' faces. Hey, they're interested in who is going to be great, who is rising above everybody else. And Jesus calls someone to him to use as an illustration, as someone that nobody thinks is very important in the world at the time, a little child. And here's what he says in verse number 3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Hey, guys, the way that you're going to become great is that you have to become as this little child. You have to be eager to learn. You have to be trusting in someone bigger than you. You have to be dependent. You have to have an openness of mind, is what he was saying. Before you got saved, you know what drew you to Christ? You became as a child. You were willing to trust the Lord Jesus Christ with your very dear life. You were open to what the Bible's preached and taught, and you were open to what preachers have taught. You were open, you were humble, and Jesus Christ says in order to come to him, you have to be as a little child. Verse number 4, the Bible says, For whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But whoso shall receive one such child in my name receiveth me. Verse number 5, I believe, is an important verse. Because what Jesus is saying, the way that you treat, the way that you accept, the way that you love, the way that you embrace a little child, when you're doing that, you're doing it unto me. I don't want you to miss that because it's real important to what I'm going to preach on tonight. Jesus is saying, the way that you treat, the way that you love, the way that you embrace a little child is a picture of how you do it unto me. When you go to verse number 6, he says, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones. The word offend there is a wide range of meaning. It means to hurt. It means to injure. It means to wound. It means to violate, to cause to stumble, hinder them in their obedience, cause them to sin, cause them to fall away from God. All of those things are included in that word offend. He says, whosoever shall violate one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. That's strong right there. I remember growing up and watching all the old mafia movies. And they talk about cement shoes. You know, somebody had told somebody or ratted the mafia out, and they put the cement shoes on them, you know, and threw them in the Jordan, or not the Jordan, but the river, and they drowned. But you know what? That's essentially what Jesus is saying there. He's saying, you know what, if you violate a little child, if you injure a little child, if you keep that child from coming to Jesus, if you harm a little child, it would be better that you would go down to the river, put on the cement shoes, and drop in and drown. That is strong language, my friends. In verse number 7, he says, but woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs that offenses come. Hey, there's going to be injuries, there's going to be hurt, there's going to be all of those things that come into life. But he says, but woe to that man by whom the offenses cometh. I believe that that last statement is talking about those that harm children, those that violate children. And if you could just put that in plain English, I believe it would be this way. You're in trouble with God when you harm children. I believe that's as clear as day. Woe unto the man to whom by the offenses cometh. I won't surprise you with this statement, but our country is in trouble. It's not in trouble because wicked men are being wicked. It's not in trouble because of all the political situation that is going on in our world. You know why America's in trouble tonight? America's in trouble tonight because of the way that we treat our children. As a nation, we have murdered 50 million babies since Roe versus Wade. To kind of put that in context, it is twice the population of Texas. So over the last 40 years, we have killed the population of Texas twice over. If you make it out of the wound, though, but you are even at risk further. This week, we have been watching the news, and Jeffrey Epstein is somebody that is on the tongue of everybody. Every time you turn on the TV or go to a news website, you see his picture. He was a very prominent man. He had lots of money. He was a multi-millionaire. He had his own island. But one of the things that Jeffrey Epstein was doing is that he was providing young girls for all of his friends and for all of his buddies, not only providing for them, but he was taking part of that himself. He was trafficking young girls in America. I read this week that it's the fastest growing crime in America and the world. I'm fixing to give you some statistics. And I know that I give you so many of these that it just kind of hazes. But I like Brother Chris this morning talking about what he was talking about. I know this is not a subject that people would want to talk about in church, but I'm telling you, it is overtaking America and our country. And because of it, we are going to be in trouble with God. The child trafficking business is a $12 billion business. 1.2 million children are involved. Internationally, 600 to 800,000 people are sold and bought internationally. Think about that. We think that we're out of the age of slavery, but every year 600 to 800,000 people are bought and sold. But here is the statistic that I want you to get a hold of. 50% of that number are young girls. The U.S. Department of Health estimates that 300 children are at risk for sexual exploitation every single year. 199,000 incidents of sexual exploitation of a minor occurs every year in the United States. On Sunday nights, there is a program on Fox News. It's called Levin, Liberty and Freedom. Has anybody watched that? Last Sunday night, and it's kind of what pushed me in this direction with all the Epstein, and then, but he had a program of a man that has made a film. It is entitled 8 Days. It's about one of his sisters that was trafficked as a young little girl. But he was talking about this. They spent the whole hour just on an interview talking about how it is permeating the world. But he gave us statistics. I didn't write it down. But he says every day in the state of Texas, there is between 70 and 80,000 incidents of child trafficking in the state of Texas. Half of all sexual abuse victims are children. 1 in 3 girls will be sexually molested by the age of 17. The average age of entry into prostitution in America is between 12 and 14 years of age. The U.S. has the worst record of any industrialized nation in the world on child abuse. We lose 4 to 7 children every single day to child abuse. 49% of children who die from child abuse are under the age of 1. Think about that. 49% are under the age of 1. 80% of all children fatalities involve at least 1 parent. If they live through the mess, their lives will never be the same. 38% of children will turn to violent crime that have been abused. 84% of all prison inmates were abused as a child. 59% are more likely to be arrested as a juvenile. 28% are more likely to be arrested as an adult. 65% become addicted to alcohol and to drugs. And here's one that'll blow your mind. 82% can grow up to be pedophiles. Today, 6 children will commit suicide because of child abuse. Let all that stuff sink in. Because we live in such a clean world, we think. And as long as we can keep this kind of stuff pushed aside and keep it out of the news, and then it really isn't happening. But I'm telling you, it's happening. And the scripture says in verse number 7, "Woe unto that man by whom offenses cometh." Right quickly, in the remaining verses, verse number 8 down through verse number 14, I believe Jesus here gives some advice to those that might be involved in child abuse. And then I believe he gives one thing to those that are on the outside that may know someone that's involved. The first one is found in verse number 8, and I believe, I've just entitled this one, you need to, if you're involved or if you know someone's involved, they need to identify, they need to deal with it, and they need to get rid of whatever it's causing it. Because notice what Jesus says in verse number 8. "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having 2 hands or 2 feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with 1 eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire." There are a lot of reasons. There are a multitude of reasons why people abuse little children. Some of it might just be pride. You know, this is my stuff. This is my house. This is what I'm going to do. I am the head of this house and you're going to do what I say. And if you don't, I'm going to knock your head off. I was raised that way. I was never abused, but I'm telling you, when my dad spoke, there is nothing wrong with parental authority. And I'm telling you, we need more parental authority in this world. But the business of intimidating and the business of being hard against the children because, hey, you're going to do what I say. And if you don't do what I say, hey, there's ways to deal with it. I am all about discipline. I believe that we ought to discipline our children. But I understand we better be careful with those things. How about those that, when we talk about sexual trafficking, how about those that think, you know what, my pleasure is greater than anyone else's suffering. As long as I feel good, as long as I'm happy, it doesn't matter who I destroy. It doesn't matter who I hurt. All my life, I've talked to people that grew up in a home of an alcoholic or someone that was addicted to drugs. All of us have heard story after story after story of how dad would come home drunk and beat the mama and beat the children. How about stress? We live in a life that's filled with stress, and you go to work and you have to do certain things. There's someone that's over you and there's someone telling you what you ought to do, and sometimes it just gets heavy on you and you go home and you take it out on those that are around you. How about anger? Those that just get angry at the drop of a hat. And we could go right on down the line. But you know what we need to do? We need to identify those things. Hey, if that is going on in our life, we need to identify it, and then we need to deal with it, and then we need to get rid of it. That's what he's saying. He says, you know what, if your hand offendeth thee, or if your foot offend thee, or if your eye offend thee, hey, cast them from you, cut it off, cast them from you. Get rid of it in your life. Isaiah 55 and verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Job 11 and verse number 14, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is he saying? Cut it off. Put it away. Get rid of it. Anything that would cause you to harm and to lash out and to violate and to injure a little child, get rid of those things in your life. Do business with God. He says in Isaiah, he will have mercy and he will abundantly pardon you. Guaranteed. In a crowd this size tonight, I bet you there are 10 or more people that if we would take testimony time that would be honest, would stand up and say, you know what? I was abused by a dad. I was abused by a granddad. I was abused by a teacher. I was abused by a neighbor. I was abused by an uncle or an aunt, and it destroyed my life. I lived with a wife for 21 years. That was abused by a bus driver and was abused by her granddad. And I'm telling you, for the most part, she was pretty good. But I'm telling you, we could be sitting in a room and we could be watching TV and they could deal with a subject that was similar or topical. And I'm telling you, it would change her just like that. She's 54 years of age, and I'm telling you, she still struggles, and it still weighs on her mind heavily. And you say, it's not a very big crime. I'm telling you, it destroys the lives of our kids, and it affects our kids when they become adults. And he's saying in the text, identify it. Make sure you know what it is. And if there's anything in you that's causing that, get rid of it in your life. The second thing is that you're never going to get away with it. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Have you ever heard this? A little child has a guardian angel. You know where they get it from? One of the verses that they get it from is this verse. Because here is what he's saying. He says, you know, these little ones, they have an angel. They're always about them. They always see about what they're doing. But more importantly, they have audience with God the Father. They have audience with God the Father. I know sometimes we like to think that God is distant. But I'm telling you, God sees. And when I read a passage like this, I have to be honest with you, one of the first things that pops into my head, if every child has a guardian angel, and God knows everything that is going on, and He is God, why doesn't He stop it? Remember last week I preached on why, God, why? And you know what? I don't know the answer to that, and I'm telling you, I don't think you do either. But I do know this, that every child has a guardian angel, and I'm telling you, my friends, when someone abuses and violates a child, God knows. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." When we see that, many times we want to even the score. But you know, the Bible promises that God will do that. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord." That's a promise you can count on. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 30 through verse number 31, the Bible says, "For we know him that he has said, 'Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people.'" And here is a very dramatic statement. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 35. "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. And the things that shall come upon them make haste." You know what God is saying over and over? You don't get away with it. "Woe unto the man by whom offenses come." How about those that maybe we know someone that is being abused? Maybe we know a family that is abusing their children. What do we do? I believe verse number 12 through verse number 14 gives us some very good advice. "How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he findeth it, verily I say unto you, he rejoice more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is the will of our Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should not perish." I think that thing that we need to do is go out of our way to protect a child that we know that is abused. In this text, 100 sheep. Hey, they had everything going their way. Everything was wonderful, but there was one that was on the outside. And the shepherd said, "I'm leaving the 99, and I'm going to find that one that's broken." I like Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18. It's Jesus reading the passage of scripture from the book of Isaiah. But it describes what he is to do. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." We have an obligation as Christians to stand against child abuse. If we don't, who is? If we say somebody else will do it, no. It's our job. Father, our children keep. We know not what is coming on the earth beneath the shadow of thy heavenly wings. Oh, keep them, thou who gavest them birth. Father, draw nearer us. Draw firmer round us thy protecting arm. Oh, clasp our children closer to thy side. Uninjured in the day of earth's alarm, them in thy chambers hide. Oh, hide them and preserve them calm and safe. When sin abounds and error flows abroad, and Satan tempts and human passions chafe, oh, keep them undefiled. unspotted from a tempting world of sin, that clothed in white through the bright city gates, they may with us in triumph enter in. Let's pray.